I'm Justin Oldham, and you're listening to an ATS member podcast supported by AboveTopSecret.com. And for the benefit of those very wily computers over the Department of Homeland Security, which may be scanning this file, I'd like to say that this digital recording was made on Friday, July 27th of 2007. I'd like to take the next 10 minutes to wrap up my multi-part podcast discussion on what it might take to start a third political party in the United States just from absolute scratch. Before we get our hands dirty with this, I'd like to take a few moments to thank the many ATS members who have submitted suggestions for me to add as content, or just for many of you who've just commented positively on this endeavor. You know who you are. As much as we don't like to admit it, politics does regrettably turn on money, and while there are a lot of human factors involved, the simple truth of the thing is that you don't get it if you don't pay for it. A casual examination of the Democrat Party, the Republican Party, and even the well-known Libertarian Party in the United States will show you that these are finely tuned organizations. Some are larger than others. Some are better managed than others. And as I make this recording, some are more squared away than others, and I am, of course, making reference to the fact that the Republicans are in such incredible disarray. The most important thing to remember before you decide to give up is that the longest journey starts with the smallest step. Every political party that exists in any country began life as one idea in one person's mind. And the very first political contribution was $1 or some equivalent thereof. All political parties, regardless of where you live on this planet, have constituencies. And the hardest thing you're ever going to do, if you're a political mastermind trying to start his or her own party, is to identify your constituents. Who are the people that you're going to serve? And what professional classes do they belong to? Now, there's good news here, because when it comes to those demographic classifications, you may have not to put out any money out of pocket. In some places, like the city where I live, here in Anchorage, Alaska, the municipality keeps a wide array of demographic statistics, and they're all available on a website here. With a little point and click, I can go and I can look at them, and I can pull out anything that I might be interested in. So that might be something for you budding party chairman to do in the future, is go online, check out the resources available through your governments, and see what demographic statistics are available. How many doctors and lawyers, nurses, school teachers, and such do you have in your community? You might have what sounds like a perfectly good idea for a political party in mind, but you may discover that based on the makeup of your community, it just won't work. On the other hand, as you casually go over the nitty-gritty details of the various professional groups that happen to be in your hometown, something may occur to you. You will, after all, see agrarian interests, big business interests, little business interests, school teachers, ambulance drivers, all kinds of people that you may be able to identify with. Now, in the unlikely event that you do have money burning a hole in your pocket and you're looking to fast-track things so that they're actually done in your lifetime, you may very well have to register and run for public office yourself. This could require you to register as an independent. It would be a bad idea for you to register yourself as a member of the political party that you're trying to start. That looks just that looks just nasty on the ballot. You don't want that. A large component of politics is personal empowerment, so that if you do actually run for office in your hometown and you do succeed, you're going to find that a lot of doors open for you. Your ability to wheel and deal, your ability to spin a positive public image are going to really just change the way you look at the world. that, in turn, is going to allow you to develop an entourage. That's a group of people that you will be able to rely on in a crunch. And as I've said in previous podcasts, it's that coterie of people that you can trust that you'll need to form the backbone of your larger organization. And don't be surprised if you have to be a city councilman or even a mayor for 10 or 20 years before you finally get into a position where you can launch that political party that you've been dreaming of for so long. It has been said that the best experience comes from doing, and it may be necessary for you to join an established political party to get the on-the-job training which will allow you to do things your own way later on. As a young person here in the United States, you've actually got some options which will pay you. I am, of course, talking about some of the various internships. If you're interested in a House or a Senate internship, you can write to your senator or to your congressman, and they'll tell you all you need to know. Likewise, there are other summer internships in Washington, D.C., and they will pay you a pittance. But hey, you'll be there, it'll be on your resume, you'll get that OJT, and you're not totally out of pocket for the whole thing. The House and the Senate have PAGE programs, which you can apply to. You will also find other errand boy type positions with various federal agencies around D.C., to include the Supreme Court. You can also find internship positions with other non-political groups like the Smithsonian Institute, for example. Taking advantage of these summer work programs will give you a little taste of what you might be in for in the future, and that's not a bad thing, because you may find out that you're just not suited for politics. Now, I didn't just wake up one day and say, hey, I think I'll be good at this political thing. My experience with politics can be tracked backwards over the span of 25 years. The more experience you have with anything, the better you get. Now, there's a very small chance that you may find yourself in a position where you're making good money, you got a big pile of extra cash laying around, but it turns out you're just no good at that political thing. Well, that's not a totally lost cause, you know. You can always go and buy the nice sports car. That'll make you feel a little better. Just keep it washed and waxed on weekends. But then you can go out and be a political supporter. Who knows? Maybe you and your money will find somebody else who's got the nifty idea for the new political party. The whole bottom line here is that you've got more options than you think you do. Your time, your money, your voice, your vote, when paired up with others who think like you do, hey, you constitute a force to be reckoned with. Now, if you're not an ATS member and you happen to be hearing this podcast through some other off-site feed, I'd like to encourage you to go and find www.abovetopsecret.com, plug in my name to their search engine, and you will find the rest of the podcast in this series of discussions about how to start a third political party in the United States. If you are a member of AboveTopSecret.com, I encourage you to continue plumbing the depths of all that marvelous content. As you continue to become more and more familiar with the issues, you're going to have better and better ideas. The more you get into the alternative news that pops up on that site, the more you're going to learn about other points of view. And that's that whole other point of view thing that can make you a very effective political strategist. You already know what you think, but it's never easy to figure out where the other guy is coming from. If you're going to be a deal maker, you've got to be able to flip the switch in the back of your mind and look at the problem through their perspective. When you can do that, then you can be the deal maker. Now hold on, I know what you're thinking, but political strategy should be saved for another whole series of podcasts. In spite of what it may say on your college diploma, politics is not really a science and is more truly called an art. Hey, look at that. We've hit the end of our 10-minute segment. Hey, thanks very much for talking to me. Thanks very much for listening to me. And we'll catch you on AboveTopSecret.com.